I want us to get into the Word of God. I know we're already a little behind our time, so I'm going to try to get into it real quickly. I want to actually take some time to minister to us today and all of this month. This is what we're going to be ministering on. The theme that the Lord has given us for this season is supernatural increase. Supernatural increase. He is the God of increase. Amen. He is the God of increase. And I know you've heard messages on increase and things like that if you've been in the body of Christ for a little bit, but I really believe that the Lord wants to take us deeper. I believe that there's things that we may not have paid a lot of attention to when it comes to increase, that the Lord would like to shine his light on for us. So I'm going to ask and encourage that you get as much as you can. Amen. And those of you who take notes, really get into it and go back and study your notes. I see we have a few guests. I know that our dear sister Tochi and her husband and her children are worshiping with us. And I know that other guests have already probably been recognized. We're glad to have Maria. She's been all over the place. I don't know if she was here already before, but this is my first time of seeing her in several months, so forgive me. And if we have other guests, thank you for being here today. Sorry, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I haven't been here in like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so. So I'm trying to. Yeah, I miss you too. Hallelujah. I'm trying to. I'm trying to find my way back. You know, to kind of get in the groove, in the Abundant Life Pulpit groove. Hallelujah. And I feel the Spirit of God. Amen. Thank God for our lead pastor, Pastor Tino, and all of our pastors and ministers who continue to do an excellent job in leading us. And we pray that God will continually bless you guys and that you will not lose your reward in Jesus' name. Well, I'm super excited to have the opportunity to minister the Word of God to you today. So if I sound crazy, I've been struggling a little bit with my voice for the last 1 week, but it's coming back. I think the Lord has opened it up so I can speak to you today, and I feel strong. I kind of felt a little tired earlier in the week, so I feel strong today. I feel maybe part of why the Lord's giving me so much strength is that so I can preach a long message today. I was very weak earlier in the week, tired, weak, broken, couldn't talk, and I could hardly talk. Ask the people who live in my house, they'll tell you. I mean, I was just... But suddenly, supernatural strengths come. I mean, and what's the only difference there is I'm supposed to preach to you today. So the Lord must want me to say some things to you today. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited to receive it. If you are not, that's too bad because I'm already excited for you. I brought in a lot of excitement with me. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, in Psalm 67, one of the things we've been doing lately, especially for about a month, we've devoted a lot of time to praising God. I won't keep you long. I was just kidding with you, so don't think I'm going to preach too long. We'll be out of here. I know usually the regular, normal preachers who preach, they get us out of here about 12:30. I'm one of those abnormal preachers, so latest by 1, you'll be out of here, all right? But I do have a few things the Lord will have me say to you. All right, so for a few weeks, we have been ministering on praise and the power of praise. And in Psalm 67, the Bible says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Let all the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you would judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, and let all the people praise thee, says in verse 8. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth, shall fear him. Praise is one of the ways through which God provokes the earth to yield to his people what they inherently carry. Praise is like the dew of heaven. Praise is what breaks down the barriers, the fallow grounds of our lives, and provokes them to yield to us the increase that God supernaturally ordained. When he says then the earth will yield its increase, notice it's not that the earth wants to give that increase. But because of the power of praise and because of what praise will elicit on the earth, that earth has no choice but to yield its increase to you. Beloved, I want you to catch a vision for supernatural increase. And I want to go a little deeper than we have ever gone. I myself have been very guilty over the years of just focusing on an aspect of increase and not going beyond that first step. And I believe that over the next few weeks, the Lord will help us. So we'll do this here whenever I minister on Sunday, but whenever we also have our Wednesday. This month, we have at least two Wednesday online teaching services, and I'm going to be going into the bolts and the nuts of supernatural increase. So as many of you as able to join us, please join with us, and the Lord will bless us. Amen. But I want to kind of go a little deeper. I want to sow within you first a desire and a passion for increase. I just want you to know that regardless of where you are today, God has more for you than what you currently have. Spiritually, God wants to increase you. God wants to make you a greater impact in the kingdom of God. God wants to make you a greater influencer in the kingdom of God. Now, as believers, many of us sometimes we struggle to get to where we get to. Sometimes it takes us years to actually arrive at the points where we arrive at. And sometimes when we get there, we're like just sighing. We're like, oh, thank you, Lord, finally arrived here. But I want to challenge you a little bit because God, wherever you are at today, is just a beginning point for you. God does not want you to settle. I don't want you to settle. Hallelujah. God is sending this series of messages to us, but I will minister it, and other people who join us on the pulpit will minister as the Lord will lead them in these areas. But one of the very first things that the Lord has put in my heart for you is do not settle. Don't you settle. Wherever you have arrived at, wherever you are today, today is just a beginning point. I don't care how high you are. I don't care how much it took you to get to where you are. This is just a beginning point. As far as God is concerned, what he wants to do with you is so much greater than what you have experienced so far. Can somebody shout hallelujah? You know, one of the reasons God chose Abraham is because Abraham would just not settle. And every time God would say, are you ready to go? He would say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. All right, come on, let's go further. Let's go further. And God kept taking him. God kept taking him until finally God took him one place one day. And God said, whoa, you blew my mind. This is so much more than what I thought a man, any human being, would want to accomplish. But you've done it. And he says, because of this, I'm going to bless you. And I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I want you to know, until you are blessed to the point where you are becoming a blessing to the world around you, you have not yet arrived. I say you have not yet arrived. What does it mean to be a blessing to the world? Number one, to be blessed means to be empowered by God. It means to be empowered by God to prosper, to be empowered by God to increase. And then to be a blessing means to be an instrument in the hands of God that God is using to empower other people in your generation. Some of the people God will use you to empower might be local to you. Some of the people God would use you to empower might be people you would never see in your life. But because of the empowerment of God within you and because of your obedience to do the things that the Lord says for you to do, God will empower generations through you. And that's exactly what God said to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Shout hallelujah, somebody. So first, let's start from the foundation right here. So go with me to Genesis 22. Genesis and chapter 22. And this is a very well-known story. I'm not going to let it take my time at all. But this is the latter end of some of the teachings from Open Heavens in June that we didn't finish. So I'm going to pick it up from there and try to, you know, find my way into the next things that the Lord has for us. But right here in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. You know, when Abraham lifted up his hands to kill his son, like the Lord had initially instructed him to do. And the angel said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I love verse 13. It says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. Can you say those words with me? Abraham lifted up his eyes. Say those words with me one more time. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. And when he lifted up his eyes, he looked and behold. The Bible says behold there because he saw something that he had not seen before. I want you to catch a vision for increase. I want you to become passionate in your life for increase. God wants to increase you in every dimension of your life. God wants to increase you spiritually. He wants to increase you in the kingdom. God wants to increase you numerically. God wants to increase you in your family. God wants to increase you materially. God wants to increase your vision. He wants to increase your influence. He wants to increase your ministry. He wants to increase your business. He wants to increase everything that you put your hands upon. I want you to catch a vision for increase. You see, when you have a vision for increase, you are constantly looking up. You are constantly looking up. It's your assignment for this service. When you get back home, when you have the time to do this later in the week, I want you to go back and read in Genesis chapter 22 and count how many times the Bible says Abraham looked up. When you have a habit of constantly looking up away from where you are, God will constantly pour within you things that you did not have within you before. The habit of people who settle is that they are constantly looking around them where they are, and they are constantly measuring around themselves where they are. The habit of people who have a vision for increase is that they are constantly lifting up their eyes and they are constantly looking beyond where they are. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 4, he said, lift up your eyes from where you are. He says, and look, he says, for the fields are white and they are plenty and they are ripe and they are ready. See, when you are caught up in this mundane life of just constantly focusing on us, for and no more. You know, that's the saying of most families who are just constantly focused on what they can get for themselves. They really don't care what happens to other people in the world. It's just us, for and no more. Father, son, daughter, sorry, father, father, mother, daughter, son, no more. When you are caught up in that mundane life, increase is going to be very difficult to come by. But when you have a vision and you are constantly looking from where you are and you are constantly imagining, remember our theme for Open Heavens, if you can imagine it, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. Whatever you can see, and actually that's the theme right here in Genesis chapter 22. The Bible says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw something. And if you can see it, God will see to it. You want to write that down in your note if you're taking note. If you can see it, God will see to it. If you can see it, God will see to it. What does that mean, Pastor? If you can see it in your spirit, if you see yourself doing more for God, if you see yourself becoming more for God, if you see yourself accomplishing more for God, if you can see it, God will see to it. That is, supernaturally, God will make a way to make it happen. Shout yes, somebody. Yes. See, in the natural, the walls may be raised up against you. That's why I said in this teachings on increase, I want us to go a little farther than we've gone before. Because in past years, if you've been in abundant life or you've partaken of our ministry for any amount of time, you know, every time we've constantly talked about having a vision for increase. Having a vision for increase. But having a vision for increase, although many people still need to work on that one, we still need to kind of sharpen our vision for increase because a lot of people are still kind of like just where they are, just caught up in that little, and God wants you to lift up your eyes. But even beyond lifting up your eyes, there is so much more to increase than you getting a vision for it. And unfortunately, one of the reasons why we have limited God so much in our experience is for those of us who have a vision for increase, we've had a vision for increase, but we've stopped there. Increase is going to come, it's going to come from heaven, but it's going to come more, it's going to use more than the wheels of vision. There's going to be so much more that's going to bring increase into our lives than just our ability to see it. But seeing it is always the beginning point. Because if you can't see it, if you can't conceive it, you will never receive it. If you can't perceive it in your spirit, that God can do this with me. That's why you notice in the Bible, God used a lot of images, a lot of props for people when he's trying to provoke faith in them, when he's trying to challenge them to take a step further. Many times God will put props before them. God said to Abraham, just go out and count the stars, and started counting the stars. And God says, that's how your seed will be. See, that was a prop for him. When he saw the stars and he could imagine the faces of his children on those stars, faith was provoked within him to be able to believe God for the promise of being a father of many nations. It always begins from what you see. If you don't see yourself becoming better, you will never be better. If you are an addict trying to break out of a terrible habit, if you don't see yourself free from it, you'll never be free from it. If you don't see yourself with miracles that the Lord has ordained for you, you will never have it. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what people say to you, what messages you hear. If you cannot conceive it in your spirit, if you can't see God doing it, if you can't carry it within your heart and carry it within your spirit, you may never experience it in your real life. So it always begins from what you see. But then it always goes beyond what we see. And so that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. Let's continue to lay our foundation here. So the Bible says in Genesis 22, I know I was in verse 14. It says that Abraham lifted up his eyes and verse 13, thank you. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And in verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place what? Jehovah Jireh. And he says, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. The original actually says, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. Now, let me just show you. I'm laying foundation here. What Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw was a ram caught in a thicket. That ram was not there before. If the ram had been there before, Abraham would not have been concerned about, nobody would have wondered about what would happen, what sacrifice, and the ram was not there because the instruction God gave to Abraham was, I want you to go to this mountain and I want you to sacrifice your son. But a few verses before, this ram became created. I want you to back up a little bit. And in that Genesis chapter 22, I want you to look at verse 3. After the Lord gave him that instruction, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he clave wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham did what? Lifted up his eyes and did what? He saw the place afar off. Now, I want you to notice something. As soon as Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, he started prophesying to his servants. He said to his servant, what God said to him in verse 1 and 2 is, I want you to go sacrifice your son. Now, the logic, the simple, plain logic that we can all see here is this. If he took his servant and his servant knew God told him, go sacrifice your son. At this point when he's talking to his servant, he should be saying to his servant, we are going to go and sacrifice to the Lord yonder. And he will say to his servant, and I will return to you. Right? Because he knew and the servants knew he was supposed to go sacrifice his son. His servants didn't ask any question. The only person in this party who didn't know what was going on was his son, because he was the sacrificial lamb to be. But when he left them, I want you to see in verse 3 when he prophesied to them. In verse 3, he says in verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, you guys stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and then what would happen? We will come back to you again. I am the Lord. It isn't just I will come back to you. It's that I am the Lord will go and worship, and both of us will come right back to you. What was Abraham doing? Abraham was prophesying this lamb that was caught in a thicket, which he didn't even know was there. He was prophesying it because in his eyes, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, he received his son Isaac as resurrected from the dead. Abraham never believed that he wasn't coming back with that boy. He believed he was going to kill him. He believed he was going to obey God and sacrifice him. But he had no idea in the natural how it was going to happen. But he knew he was coming back with his only son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, the only explanation for it was that Abraham saw himself coming back with his son. Abraham saw God raising up that boy from the dead. And when he spoke it forth, the Lord saw to it. If you can see it, the Lord will see to it. Hallelujah. I see increase. I see increase. I see glory. I see greater. Oh, glory to God. I don't have time. I don't have time to be poetic. But anyone who has ever done anything great for God, they had to see it first. Some of them even prophesied, this is going to happen after my death. They said, I went to the mountain and I saw. They saw it. And because they saw it, the Lord saw to it.
This is the fundamental foundation of increase. If you do not have a vision for increase, you may never increase. If you don't see God doing more in your future, if you think, well, you know, here we are, you know, I mean, it took us so long to get here. We ought to just settle here now. We ought to just be happy. Please don't settle. Slap your neighbor, tell them don't settle. You can't say, you are not allowed. Slap them hard. Say, you are not allowed to settle. Slap them real hard. Say, if there's a wise, say, pastor told me to slap you. Say, slap them real. You are not allowed to settle. Just want you to wake them up. You are not allowed to settle. Some people think, oh, well, you know, I worked all my life. Here I am. And, you know, I should just settle. Don't you settle. You are not allowed to settle. The world is waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting to see the glory of God upon his people. You are not allowed to settle. I don't care how old you are. 40, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. God is still pouring out vision. Catch a new vision for something new. You are not allowed to settle. Do you know one of the reasons the Lord called Abraham was he wouldn't settle? Abraham's father settled. When God called him, he said, I want to take you to a place. God didn't say exactly where. He didn't tell him how far. He told him, gave him an idea. When Abraham's father got halfway, he settled. And because he settled, he never saw Canaan. And after his father settled and passed on, God came to Abraham. He said, come, I'm going to call you out of your father's house, and I'm going to send you, I'm going to take you to a place where you have never seen, you have never beheld. I'm going to call you out of your people. I'm going to call you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to call you out of what you are familiar with, and I'm going to take you to a place where you have never been. And God said, are you going to go, Abraham? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm going to go, Lord. I'm going to go, Lord. And every time the Lord came to Abraham, and the Lord said, I'm going to take you to a place. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm ready. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To the point when at Abraham's death, Abraham was prophesying that God is going to take his people, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, to a place where they have never been. And the builder of that city is going to be God. Because he saw it. He always saw it. He always saw it. We are going to a place where we have never been. Slap your neighbor one more time. Say, you can't settle here. Come on, tell them you can't settle here. There's a world out there waiting for your increase. You can't be satisfied with just paying your light bills. You can't be satisfied just because your mortgage got paid. There's a world out there that needs the increase that God wants to bring into your life. There are people all over the world, hungry children, that can use the blessing of God upon your life. There are people in places in the world that can use the blessing of God upon your life. How dare you be so selfish and be satisfied just because you finally got your light bill paid? Slap your neighbor one more time. Say, you cannot settle here. You can't settle here. Oh, we thought we finally arrived where now we know we can have our little savings, which is great. Have our little savings and grow that savings over time. Praise God. And build some whatever for our children's education and for retirement. And we put a little here and we grow it. And slap your neighbor one month and say, you can't settle. You can't settle. No, you can't do it. You can't settle. There's too much that's riding on what God wants to do through you. You can't settle. You can't just pack it in and start talking about how we're going to live this little life until we leave. You can't do that. There's horizons to be taken. There's generations to be taken. Glory to God. I want you to see how powerful even your ability to see it is. When Moses was about to leave, God said to him, okay, you are not the one taking my people into the promised land, but I still want you to see it. But I still want you to see it. And he took him to the top of the mountain and he said, look. And they looked, and out there was the promised land, the land of Canaan. And Moses said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he went back and he packed it up and he left and gave up the ghost. God said, I still want you to see it. I still want you to see it. I want you to see the greater that I have that you have not experienced yet. I want you to see the better that I have in your future that you have not experienced yet. Boy, help me, Holy Ghost. I feel like running all over this church because there's such a conviction within my heart that God wants to do something that is mind-boggling to the average human being through your life and through my life. God wants to do things through you and through me that even generations have not yet imagined. Hallelujah. And it all begins from your being able to see it. Because if you see it, God will see to it. Why do I say God will see to it? That is described as supernatural. I want to take you deeper. I want to take you a little deeper. Because most human beings understand natural increase. But most human beings do not understand supernatural increase. Most human beings work at the level of the mind and they think, well, if you add this to this and if you get this and add that and put that there, yeah, I guess we could get there. But most human beings have never seen a situation where there was a party and there was not a single drop of wine left. And somebody gave an instruction and said, fill all the barrels with water. And supernaturally, here came several multiple barrels of wine. And just a few minutes ago, there was not even one drop of wine. That's not natural. That's supernatural. The reason the Bible says the Lord will see to it is there is no equipment that can transfer that ram, take it from where it exists and bring it to where Abraham needs it. It has to be by the invisible, divine, supernatural hands of God. It has to be supernatural. If you can see it, the Lord will see to it. Let's look at a few more scriptures before I have to wrap this up this morning. Look at Job chapter 8, verse 7. A few familiar scriptures. One or two that may not be too familiar. Job chapter 8, verse 7. Even though your beginning was small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. Not just increase, but greatly increase. Say with me, my latter end shall greatly increase. Look at Genesis chapter 1, the very first instruction that God gave man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. To 29. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 29. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given unto you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth. And every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. From the very beginning, God had increase on his mind. Look at Psalm 115 and verse 12. Psalm 115 and verse 12 to 15. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Somebody say, the Lord will increase me more and more. Me and my children. We will be small no more. But the Lord will increase us more and more and more and more. He said, you are the blessed of the Lord. Amen. Look at Psalm 1 verse 3. Psalm 1 verse 3. It says, he will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. What will he do? He will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does will do what? Will prosper. That means fruitful. That means fruitful. Whatsoever he does will prosper and will be fruitful. Somebody say, that's me. Come on, say that me. That's me. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall do what? Shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They are still catching a vision of increase in their old age. Hallelujah. They shall be fat and flourishing. Look at Zechariah. Not very familiar here, but I want to show you something in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 12 and 13. Can you give me 10 minutes to go a little deeper here in this message this morning? Can I introduce you to a few more additional things here? Just about 10 minutes, I think I should be done for today. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 12. Popular scripture this one is, but I want to take you a little deeper here. It says, for the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. The heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of these people to possess all these things. Just in case you think God is bringing all of these things into your life just so that you can have a better feel-good life, he reminds us in verse 13. He says, it shall come to pass that as you were cursed among the heathen, O house of Judah, and O house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. And you shall be a blessing. So that means God's ultimate purpose for bringing increase into your life is not just so that you are more comfortable. It's not just so you can boast about how much more you have and how much more you have accomplished for yourself. It's so that you can be a blessing. Who was the very first person that God said to, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing? It was Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, you know that. God called him out and said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And then the Bible tells us in Isaiah 51 exactly how God did that. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 3. God said, I called you. He says, you remember your father Abraham. I called him alone. Isaiah 51 verse 2 and 3. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bore you, for I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. But we know from Genesis chapter 12 that the ultimate purpose for God blessing Abraham and increasing him was what? So that he could be a blessing. Hallelujah. But in order for you to be a blessing, you have to be blessed first. In order for you to empower somebody else, you have to be empowered yourself first. So the tools, the bolts and the nuts of becoming empowered ourselves become extremely important. Like I told you before, we have stopped short by talking about visions of increase, the need to have a vision of increase. But there are three more levels that I want to throw out to you. I'm not going to really delve into that too much today. I'm about to close. But I want to just put that out there, and by the grace of God, we're going to delve more into that as we go. In addition to your visions of increase, there is a need for you as a believer to have instructions for increase. That's the second level. It's not enough for you to see increase. You must have instructions for increase. That means you must be precise and you must be clear in your approach to the pursuit of increase. You can't just throw everything all over the place and do a lot of trial and error and hope that something sticks. You waste a lot of the potential that God has given you that way. But when you are precise and when you are accurate, when you are walking based on the instruction that God gave you, increase comes to you much more easily than the trial and error that most of us are usually prone to doing. That's the second level. The third level is what I call actions of increase. With every instruction that God gives us for increase, there must be action to pursue that increase. Sometimes a lot of believers think increase just comes by speaking it. Yes, you know, we believe in confessing the word. We do confess the word. We believe everything is set in motion by the confession of the word. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. In addition to words of increase, in addition to words of dreams and visions that we speak, there must be actions of increase that are given in line with the instructions that God gave us. Actions of increase. That's the third level. And the last level is what I like to call determination for increase. That is, in addition to pursuing increase, as a child of God, you must be committed to fighting for the increase that is yours. Unfortunately, a lot of us believers have become satisfied with, you know, turning over everything to the Lord. You know, if we try something, if the Lord says something to do something, and we do it three times, and we don't see the results in it, we're very prone to turning it back to God and say, well, Lord, I know you work in mysterious ways, so I'll let you just, you go and do the rest of it, Lord. I've done everything you said. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing further. When the Lord told Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses went to him the first time. Pharaoh said no. Moses went to him the second time. Pharaoh said no. Moses went to him the third time. Pharaoh said no. That's where most believers usually quit. They say, well, he said no. Lord, I went to him three times. He said no. I know you walk in mysterious ways, so you take it on from there. And that's why most believers fail. Because the determination for increase is not there. You know, even the story of that prophet Elijah. He said he was praying for rain. And he told his servant, go check. Check first time. Check second time. Check third time. Nothing. The servant said nothing. He said, well, go back and check again. Because there's got to be increase. Many of you know the story of Isaac. He started digging the wells that God told him to dig. And with each well, he encountered frustration. They'll take the well. But Isaac didn't stop digging. Isaac dug so much, you could have called his middle name Dig. Isaac Dig Abraham. I'm telling you, if you read in Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says, you read it everywhere you go, and Isaac kept digging. Or, and Isaac dug again. And Isaac dug again. And that aspect of pursuing increase is lost from the experience of most believers. When we try the first time and it's not there, what do? We quit. I remember even in elementary school, when they were trying to teach us just the biology of how a seed grows, trying to show us the types of soil, the right soil for a seed to grow. They'll make us sow those seeds in clay, and we'll wait a few days and nothing would happen. Then they'll say, put the seed in sand, and we'll put a lot of water, and we'll keep looking and keep looking, and after several days, nothing was happening. And then finally, they'll give us this loamy soil that had the right conditions for the seed to grow. And they'll say, sow it in that, put it in that soil, and we'll put it in that seed and in that soil and water it. And we'll come back after a few days, and there comes the cotyledon. It begins to shoot right out of the soil. And we go, oh, glory to God, way, it's growing. But most believers today have no understanding sometimes that some of the things we do initially might just be maybe a wrong environment or a wrong time or even a wrong approach. Or it may even be right, and it could just be that the enemy mounts up opposition to stop us. Because when you make up your mind, I'm going to go forward with God, Satan is also going to rise up and he's going to stand against you. Determination for increase. I'm very excited over the next couple of weeks or so, whenever we dig back into this, both on Wednesday and when I get back here on Sunday, to take you further in some of these areas. But I have two last scriptures that I want you to read with me today. The increase in your spiritual life, where you move forward in your relationship with the Lord, where you don't settle, where you've made up your mind, yeah, praise God, I'm doing some things today that I wasn't doing last year, but I know God has more for me. And you make up your mind to keep on pushing. Or increase in your family. Maybe with something in your children's lives. They accomplish a measure of success in some area or the other, and you know that there is more for them, and you challenge them to keep on pushing. Or increase in your material wealth or ability to influence or ability to help people and be a blessing, where you've accomplished some and you know that you are not really able to help as many people as you desire to. And you make up your mind, I'm going to push further. And I trust God to increase me. There are a couple of things I just want to point out to you right here just as I close. And I want to show this to you in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to read this in the Amplified Bible. These are my last two scriptures. I'm going to close right here. I believe I gave you most of those foundational scriptures, I think. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I want you to look at the the third verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3. And I want you to look at this in the Amplified Bible. It says, for a dream or a vision comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. I want you to read that again one more time. Every vision and every dream will come with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. Just quickly, I want to put a little light on the word much business. In the King James, it says, a multitude of dreams, many words, diverse, I'm not reading the right scripture. multitude of business, he says. He calls it in the in the King James. The original Hebrew word for the word many or multitude, it means the abundance of it, the abundance of business. I want you to notice two things real quickly out of that scripture. Your dreams and your visions of increase will never be fulfilled by words alone. Only fools speak words and expect that the words will produce the increase they desire. The Bible says every dream and every vision will come by a multitude of business and painful effort. I want you to notice right there, the word multitude of business, the word business means accomplishment, tasks, and exchanges. That's what it means in the original. Accomplishment, tasks, and exchanges. Most naturally minded people immediately look at this scripture, and what they think of immediately is, yes, I knew that. Yeah, that's right. I know. Yeah, there's a spiritual part where, you know, God blesses you. But then there's a part where you have to have a lot of effort, where you have to have a lot of painful effort and much business. And if that's the way you think about this, you've missed the point. You've gotten something, but you've missed something. I'm going to underscore that to you in just 1 minute here. This is one of the biggest reasons why, in addition to having a vision of increase, we also have to have instructions for increase. We have to be precise. We have to hear the Lord. We have to know specifically. Every job on the market is not a job for you. Every idea for trade is not one you need to engage in. Every career is not a career that God necessarily intends for you. We have to be precise. And yet, when we hear God's instructions, we have to be willing to put in the effort that is required. So when he says multitude of business or multitude of businesses, he's talking about businesses at multi-levels. There's a spiritual transaction of hearing from God and knowing the will of God. That's a business. The spiritual transaction itself is a business. There is the natural transaction of obeying God and finding out exactly what am I supposed to do to carry out what God said. That's a business. There is the material transaction itself of managing the affairs of the actual physical business. How do I do with this resource that God has given me exactly what God expects me to do so I can turn multitude of returns in a period of time that God has ordained for me? He says multitude of businesses. But the greatest thing I want you to see here is not just your effort. It's the fact that you've got to be precise. A lot of these things that the Lord will open our eyes to see will not come from our minds. Most people think, you know, ideas, you know, just any idea that comes into your mind, you know, that's what you are supposed to pursue. I mean, even evangelism. Sometimes, you know, in witnessing your faith, it's not everybody you come by that God wants you to talk to. You can sit on a plane, someone can sit beside you, and you just may not necessarily have any sense of an opening. And you could try to be nice, and you could be rebuffed, and you could try to say something nicer, and they could still shut the door. And then you might need to get a sense, okay, maybe you just leave them alone. Instead of rubbing it in their face, hey, why are you so mad? Are you saved? Are you going to hell or are you going to heaven? He may have a gun. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm talking, that's even spiritual. That's just spiritual. It's not everything. It's not everything. It's not an opportunity God wants you to use. We have to be precise. We have to listen to the voice of God. And if you step out and the door is shut, pull back in. And even with the instructions that God gives you for increase, sometimes there's this huge idea that comes. You think, yeah, maybe I'm supposed to do this. And you step out and you just know, no, this is not God's idea. You pull back in and you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, please put more light on this situation. What I'm trying to say to you, instruction is everything. Everything begins with instruction. No increase is going to come into your life without instruction. Remember what Mary said to those disciples? Whatsoever he says to you, do it. That's where your increase comes from. I've looked in the Bible. There is not one increase, not one example of increase in the Bible, whether it's spiritual or financial, material or family, that came without an instruction from God. Read my last scripture right here. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. My last scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 16. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the word or the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. This is a little deep. I want you to read this in the Amplified. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to see the business activity and the painful effort that take place upon the earth, how neither day nor night some men's eyes sleep. That is so much effort and so much work and so much toiling and so much labor. He says, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because however much a man may toil in seeking, yet he will not find it out. Yes, more than that, even though a wise man thinks and claims he knows, yet will he not be able to find it out. Simple interpretation. There is more to the increase that God has in store for you than you can exercise or discover naturally. Let me say that again. Simple interpretation of those two scriptures. There is more to the increase that God has in store for you than you can know or exercise or discover naturally. That's why in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not yet entered into the heart of man the things that God has ordained for them that love him. He says, but these things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. What am I saying here as I close? Every increase that God will bring into your life will come by instruction from God. You might be able to attain some natural increase that would come to you in little bits and pieces through natural idea finding, idea exploration, reading, research, all of those are great. But the greatest increase that God will bring into your life is going to come by instruction, precise and clear instruction. The Lord will make it clear to you. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to go about it. Now you are going to have faith to step out based on the little he shows you. And with the little he shows you and the faith with which you step out, the Lord will put more light on that situation. The Lord may tell you to go to school to learn cooking. And you think, cooking? That's crazy. Who goes to school to learn cooking? And that might be the first step. The obedience you need to show God that you are worthy of the further instructions that he has for you to bring great increase into your life. I want you to understand, God is not a popularity God. He doesn't work with what's popular amongst people. God works with destiny. He works with unique, divine, specific plans and destiny. But those plans will involve instructions. And those instructions will involve multiple businesses and painful effort. You can confess the word a million times a day. But if you don't find out what the Lord is telling you to do and get out and begin to do it, you will never experience increase. I pray that this is your moment for increase. And I pray that the Lord will take you from one realm of glory to the other as he has ordained for you, not only in this season, but also beyond, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you receive that word? Come on, I said, do you receive that word? Why don't you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. Raise your hands. Let's just worship the Lord for a minute.